We give everyone a warm welcome to the gospel meeting this afternoon. I just want to say on behalf of my wife and I, we're very welcome, felt very welcome to be here. And it's a great privilege to meet with you guys this morning. So, as we open the gospel here now, I'm going to tell you first of all how I was saved. Back home in Ontario, when we travel to new places, generally, if it's our first time, we tell how we get saved. So that's what I'm going to do, first of all. Now you can turn in your Bibles to the Gospel of Mark, chapter 2. Now I came down with this cough in the last day, so you'll have to bear with me. Mark, chapter 2 and verse 17, I'm just going to read one verse. There was many verses that spoke to me before I was saved, but one in particular. Mark 2, verse 17. When Jesus heard it, he said unto them, "They that are whole have no need of a physician or a doctor, but they that are sick." Just the last part is what I'm looking at right here. "I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." I'll read it one more time. "I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." Now, before I tell you my story today, I just want to make one thing clear. That if you're a sinner today, we're all sinners, but if you have not trusted the Lord Jesus Christ, today or in the next half an hour, it's possible for you to trust Him and to know for sure of heaven. Now my story, I was raised in a Christian home, which means my parents were saved, and ever since I was a baby, I was brought out to meetings. I heard the gospel as I grew up. I knew right from the youngest age that I was a sinner, that I had sinned, and because of my sin, I was going to be in hell. All sinners born in the world, everyone born in the world today is a sinner. And they're traveling down a broad and crowded road that leads to hell. So if we do nothing, if we just stay on our sins, we know that we will not be in heaven. It's kind of interesting. The gospel came to our area. And the first person that was saved in my family was actually my great-grandma. And from her, my grandpa's family was saved, and my grandma. And then my dad was, he was born when his parents got saved. And so he was raised in the gospel. So from about four generations, our family has accepted this message. So today, it's something that is worth going in for. To know the Lord Jesus as your Savior is such a great thing. So as I grew up, things would bother me as I became older and I could understand. One thing that bothered me as I was growing up was the coming of the Lord. The fact that I was a sinner and at any minute, just like that, the Lord Jesus could come. It didn't matter where I was or what I was doing. Sometimes I'd be coming home from school and as I would come into the house, I'd wonder, "Mom's not here. This is weird. What could have happened?" And automatically in your mind, it goes, maybe the Lord came. Maybe it's too late for me. And things like this would scare me. So if you're not saved in the meeting today, it's very important that you put it first in your mind to make this very important matter of the salvation. So as I grew up, not a lot happened in my life. Sometimes I'm sure you've heard testimonies. When I was young, I used to love listening to testimonies. Some of them were really exciting. People got out into the world and did all kinds of things. And as a young boy, I thought, wow, that sounds exciting. But my testimony is pretty simple. I was raised in a Christian home, and I was saved at the age of 12. So I didn't get into a lot of crazy things or didn't get any crazy stories to tell you today. But I'm thankful that it doesn't matter your story. What the important thing is if you have the Lord Jesus and what He did for you at the cross. So as I grew up, special children's meetings would come and you'd listen to the speaker. And then you would get concerned. I would get concerned and I'd want to be saved. But as soon as the meeting was over, I had lots of friends and cousins play and you would forget about how important it is. And so then I got older, maybe when I was 8 or 10, special gospel meetings would come. And for maybe 2 or 3 weeks, every night in a tent, there would be special speakers and they would come and speak. And again, I would get concerned. And in my mind, I think, I gotta get this settled. I do not want to be in hell. My sin is taking me to hell, and that's not what I want. I knew how to be saved. I could read many verses. In Sunday school, you could learn many verses. I'm sure everybody knows the verse. "For God so loved the world, that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever," I knew I was in the whosoever. Whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. So just like you today, I'm sure you guys know verses. Even the youngest children can know verses that could lead them to be saved. And I would try to believe. After these gospel meetings, I'd go home and I'd think, laying in my bed, it should be so simple. They say it's simple. And I would try to believe, and I would try to believe. And I would get hung up trying to believe. And finally, there was a gospel series. And I remember it was an exciting series because we had this big balloon. They call it a blimp. And it was huge. And on it would say, on the side, eternity. And every day, we used to fly this blimp by the tent, way in the air. So on the way to meeting, you could see this blimp flying, and it was just something really cool. Every night, we'd take the blimp down, put it in the tent. The next day, they'd take it out, put it back up. And it was just something really cool, because everyone was talking in the towns. You see the big eternity blimp. And I was thinking, this is a good series. I'm going to get saved this series. And here, it came and went, and it was all gone, and I wasn't saved. So the year I was turning 12, I had another series. It seemed like in our area, in the summertime, we would have a gospel series in the tent every year. And so I was thinking in my mind over and over, I needed to be saved. I wanted to be saved. And this series was just in the middle of the meeting, between the speakers. One speaker was getting down and the other speaker was getting up. And I don't really remember what either speaker spoke. But this verse came into my mind. I'll read it again, just the last part. I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. And I thought about it in my head, and I just came to the simple conclusion that I was a sinner. And that's who Jesus came for. And I just trusted that what he did at the cross was enough to take me to heaven. So today, don't get hung up on believing. If you're trying to understand the gospel message of the Lord Jesus Christ and what he did at the cross and how he did it for everyone, we know that. Don't get hung up on believing. Just accept what he did at the cross is enough for you. And you can be saved for sure. Now, I have a few more thoughts that I put together because I know my story is not a long story. So, what I have here is just a few sayings that the Lord Jesus said on the cross. And I want to make one thing clear. What we're speaking today is the gospel message. And it's all about the Lord Jesus. It's not about what I'm going to say. There's other religions in the world today, and they say, do this or do that. Something a man would say. Give money. Do good things. No, the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ says there's nothing to do. You can't do anything. Jesus did it all. Jesus said it is finished. So I just want to read three more verses that the Lord Jesus said. So you could turn to Luke 23. The gospel of Luke chapter 23. These are verses that think about them in your mind. This is what the Lord Jesus said, and he's longing to save you. Luke 23 and verse 34. This is when Jesus was on the cross, and Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. This is the Lord Jesus that wants to save you today. And as he was on the cross, he could say these words, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. That he's speaking right to you today. You are a sinner today. And we sin in this world today, and sometimes we don't even know it, people that are sinning. But Jesus wants to forgive the sinner. Now, another verse is just over a few more verses in the same chapter, Luke 23, verse 43. And Jesus said unto him, Verily I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. That was the thief on the cross. On his very last hours of his life, he got great assurance. The Lord Jesus said to him, Today thou shalt be with me in paradise. And I want to tell you today, the Lord Jesus wants to give you the same assurance. He wants to give you assurance today that you can know for sure of heaven. You can have your sins forgiven today. It's very important that if you want to be saved, if you want to be in heaven, you have to make it a very number one priority. You have to want it today. And the Lord Jesus is longing to save you today. One more verse. John 19, verse 30. Over a couple, just one book. John 19. and verse 30. When Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, he said, "It is finished." And he bowed his head and gave up the ghost. What the Lord Jesus said here, he said, "It is finished." It means the work is all done. There's nothing else that we can do to make it better. So today I just ask you simply, if you believe that what the Lord Jesus Christ did on the cross is enough to save you. He said, "It is finished." There's nothing you can do. Do you accept it today? That his work on the cross was perfect. God was happy. And today, it's enough to save you. Now, I have a little story. My wife's family is from Newfoundland. And we made a trip over to Newfoundland last year. Our little son, we took him out to meet his great-grandparents. So as we were out there, we heard of this story. In Newfoundland, my father-in-law was born on this little island called Fogel Island. Now, I'm not sure if you've heard, but they built this big, fancy hotel. It's not that big. Well, it's big, but it only has 29 rooms. And it's a very famous hotel. It has the highest star rating you can get. And all the famous movie stars or singers or whatever you want to call them, this is where they go to stay. So you can understand, it's a high level. And it's very, very expensive. 29 rooms. The night rate is $2,800 for a minimum of 3 nights. So you just can't go and check it out for 1 night. You have to go for a minimum of 3. And it's $2,800 a night. Now this is the cool part. The person that built the hotel on the island thought of all the people on the island, not a wealthy island. And he decided that he's going to invite everyone for 1 free night. Come over to the island and check it out. So if you live in Fogel Island, the phone would ring and they'd say, "Hello, your night at the island is such and such a date. Well, are you interested in coming?" And the people would probably say yes. Wouldn't you think? I would think most people would say yes. But no doubt, some people would say no. They didn't like anything to do with this hotel. But my point is tonight, was when they got their date, they could miss the date. If they missed the date, there's no second chance. No more phone calls came. The island wanted everyone to come and enjoy 1 night. But they gave them a date. And if they missed their date, they missed their opportunity. Some people went. And some people didn't go. Who do you think are the people that went? The people that made it very important, that made it a priority to go. They wrote down the date, when to be there, and then the time came, they made sure they were on time. Now, I have to read one more verse, in John chapter 14. The reason I tell this story is because we're going to read about another mansion. There's two verses here. John chapter 14, verse 2. "In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also." So just like Fogel Island Hotel or mansion, if you want to call it, Jesus has went to make a mansion for us. And he's not going to make you come. Just like Fogel Island, they didn't make anybody come. Everyone had the opportunity. The Lord Jesus today gives everyone the invitation to come to heaven. He's not going to make you come. So today, just like Fogel Island, if you wanted to go to the Fogel Island Hotel, you had to make it a very high priority. It was free. If you want to go to heaven today, you have to make it the top of your wanted list. The Lord Jesus doesn't charge you anything. Everything is done. He paid it all at the cross. It's up to you today. Now, you don't have to turn there. I'm going to read one more verse that I really enjoy in John chapter 20 and verse 31. John 20 and verse 31. It says, "But these things are written that ye might believe that the Lord Jesus is Christ, the Son of God, and that believing ye might have life through his name. This is a great gospel verse. I'm going to read it one more time. That ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing ye might have life through his name. So today, if you want to accept the free gift, how do you do it? This verse lays it out so clear. That ye might believe that the Lord, that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing, you can have eternal life. So if anybody would love to have their sins forgiven today, the gift is free, and the Lord Jesus is longing to give it just by trusting him and what he did at the cross. Shall we pray? Father in heaven, we're thankful that the Lord Jesus was willing to go to the cross. We're thankful that he was willing to shed his blood, the blood that washes our sins away. And we're thankful today that the door is still open and the Lord Jesus is longing to save sinners. And we just ask that today some sinner will accept the free gift and take the Lord Jesus as their very own and know for sure of heaven today. In your worthy and precious name, amen.